gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T. Rolling right now by myself. However, today, on this special edition of Oh, You Didn't Know, we have a special guest who will be joining us in a few moments. He is an independent wrestler, wrestling for New York Wrestling Connection. He also wrestles for Pro Wrestling Syndicate and a number of other independent wrestling promotions. The Big O, a good friend of WWE superstar Zack Ryder, will be joining us in a few moments. Until the Big O joins us, I will be joined by the Sam Factor himself, Sam Schneider.
What's up?
How are you doing, Sam?
Good, man. How are you?
Happy Christmas Eve, you Jew.
Same to Jew.
Thank you. We will be joined in maybe 10 or 15 minutes by the Big O. Until then, we're going to do a little talk of WWE. And I wanted to promote myself a little bit. You can follow me at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. Check out GuttWrenchPowerBlog.com. That's G-U-T-T WrenchPowerBlog.com. I'm a WWE featured columnist on Bleacher Report. And I recently, by recently I mean minutes ago, published an article on when Dolph Ziggler will be cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase, or when is the right time to do that. And I had a couple of favorites going into my ideas to when he should do that, but I'm going to ask you, Sam, when do you think is the right time for Dolph Ziggler to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase?
Honestly, I'd probably have to say, like, they don't really say, you know, I guess it's a year. So I would have to say at this point, I think they've blown it. I think they got to wait till after WrestleMania. I mean, personally, because I personally want to see Big Show versus Ryback for the title at Mania. So I, you know, if I had my way, it would be at, you know, the May or June, or I guess there's probably one in later in April. So either that, you know, the one later in April, May, or June. I'd probably wait till that pay-per-view. And honestly, if you recall when the original Money in the Bank, when Edge won it in 2005, if you recall, like, they waited until, like, almost the next WrestleMania, and that's kind of what they're doing here. But if you recall, it was, like, such a surprise when Edge cashed it in, because I don't think – I don't know. I guess, yeah, I don't – I think they bring too much attention to it, and, like, you're always, like, trying – you're always, like, thinking, oh, is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? And it's, like, it's kind of – it's getting predictable. So I wish they, like, kind of, like, didn't have him carry around the Money in the Bank briefcase to everything, because maybe, like, people would kind of almost, like, forget that he's got that opportunity. And then when he does it, he, you know, it'll be a bigger surprise. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm going to touch on a few things that you mentioned, but I agree that people are focusing a lot on him right now, so it's going to be hard to surprise the fans as to when. And I also agree with you that I think that it should be Ryback versus Big Show at WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship. Therefore, I do think that Ziggler should either cash in at WrestleMania, which no one has ever done before. No superstar has ever cashed in Money in the Bank briefcase at WrestleMania. Or he should do it on the Raw the night after WrestleMania. If you recall, last year we saw the return of Brock Lesnar, on Raw after WrestleMania. And I think that the Raw after WrestleMania has to be big again. And it could be big by having Dolph Ziggler cash in. I also think that, you know, he has AJ and Big E Langston on his side right now. Feuding with Ryback could eventually lead to a Ryback-Ryblack match between Ryback and Big E Langston.
Yeah, man, absolutely. No, I mean, it depends. I don't.
Big E hasn't really, like, you know, he hasn't really gotten able. He hasn't really been able to show off his talents just yet, as far as promo and that work. So, yeah, hopefully, he can hold his own. I mean, hopefully, he can live up to this hype. I mean, coming out and on your debut and, you know, dropping John Cena—that's a pretty big rub. So, you know, hopefully, he can, you know, live up to his hype.
Absolutely, and I've seen him a little bit with NXT, and he is very impressive. And so, like you said, hopefully he lives up to that hype. Another article that I wrote just yesterday or late last night for Bleacher Report was ranking the most likely Rumble winners. And I think we talked about this briefly last week on our what was supposed to be our last episode of 2012 until we came up with this special edition, which will be joined by the Big O in just a little bit. But who are you thinking is winning the Rumble this year, Sam?
Who do I want to win it? Of course I want John Cena to win it because you know how much of a mark I am for him. But who do I think makes the most sense to win it? I think it'd probably be Ryback. Just because that would put him in the world title picture at Mania. I think they could, you know, I don't know. At this point, I'm thinking they're going to do Rock Cena 2, perhaps for the world title, if they do give it to The Rock. So I think they could find another way to get Cena in there if he doesn't win the Rumble. But I have to, it's between those two. With probably 60-40 Ryback.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I agree that I think the most likely candidate is Ryback. But I also think that Daniel Bryan should be considered as a possibility. Hold on a second. I'm just letting the Big O know the phone number to call. We'll call in about 20 minutes. I think that Ryback, Daniel Bryan, John Cena are probably the favorites going in, with a couple of other guys that could possibly come in and win. Maybe The Miz, though that's a far shot. Wade Barrett is a far shot. And what about even Dolph Ziggler could possibly win the Royal Rumble? And, you know, that could ultimately lead to a title unification, which I would not be against.
I mean, no, they're all possibilities. I could see Daniel Bryan doing it, but that would depend on a lot of what they do with him from now through the Rumble. I mean, if they keep him, you know, if they keep the tag titles on him and Kane, then I don't see them making, you know, them doing that. There'd have to be some sort of breakup angle between them. And if that were to happen prior to the Rumble, then I could definitely see him being, you know, in the top five. You know, probably even a top three to win it. But that, you know, that if they're going to keep him with Kane, then I'm interested to see how they do the breakup of those two. You know, it doesn't really make sense to turn Kane heel because every time he turns heel, it's like very short lived and he ultimately becomes face again just because, you know, that's just how his character has evolved over the years. And that just, even after he came back, you know, at the beginning of last year, or it was the end of 2011 or the beginning of 2012 when he came back and feuded with Cena. Like, you know, like he came back as like a really, like, you know, evil character, but then before you know it, he's, you know, he's like a comedy act again. You know, so it's like almost impossible for them to like keep him a believable heel. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how they break the two of them up.
Yeah, I agree. They do need to be careful with that. Probably when they do split up, they will have a short feud between the two of them as a way to you know, lead to, or after the breakup, it would make the most sense for them to feud, at least for a short time, just like they were doing before they became a tag team. But I think the Royal Rumble is an interesting time and gives them an opportunity to split them apart by giving Daniel Bryan the win. And I could see him challenging for either, any title. We do have a caller coming in. I'm going to take that caller. You're on with PWP Radio. Hello? Not sure that we can hear this person. WVA. All right, I think we lost that call, which is probably a good thing. They didn't have anything to say. But in any case, Daniel Bryan could challenge for either the WWE Championship by facing CM Punk, which would be very interesting because they obviously had a great feud earlier in the year. Or he could try to win back the World Heavyweight Championship, depending on who it's from.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to try to take this call again. Hello, you're on with PWP Radio.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
It's TLD, that's who it is.
Oh, I see. Are you using Skype?
I am. I wanted to get crisp audio for this big radio show today for the Christmas Eve. I happened to be off, so I was able to be on today with you guys. How are you doing, Seth?
Good. How are you doing, TLD?
I'm doing good, man. My TLD merchandise is flying off my website at TLDWrestling.com for all the gifts that the kids want under their tree.
No cheap pops there or anything, but absolutely. Very good to have you on the show. You can use Skype to call in. We will be having the Big O join us in about probably 10 minutes or so to talk about the New York Wrestling Connection screw job that he was involved with. We'll talk about Zack Ryder, Hanukkah. I have a bunch of questions for him and some questions I got from some of his Twitter followers. Asked them to send in some questions, so we have a couple questions from them as well. But TLD, what do you think
Hanukkah?
About what's that?
Did you say Hanukkah?
It's not still Hanukkah, but the Big O was tweeting during Hanukkah all about it, and so I wanted to, you know, ask him about his Hanukkah traditions.
No. I know it's not Hanukkah now. I didn't know if that's what you said. I didn't know the Big O is Jewish.
Oh yeah. No, the Big O is Jewish.
That's awesome.
So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. But TLD, who are you thinking is winning the Royal Rumble this year?
Ooh, well, I do expect The Rock to lose against CM Punk, but I do expect him to be in the Rumble. I think that's kind of it is a surprise entrant. I don't know, unless that main event's the show. I mean, I'm not sure whether they're going to. It's really hard this year to kind of tell. I do expect, if anything, I think Ryback will win. And he will face the Big Show for the World Heavyweight title. I think that's the direction they're going to go this time. You know, it seems like the last couple of years, the Royal Rumble winner really doesn't main event the actual show. It never has really turned out to be that way. So that's the only thing about the Rumble now. It's kind of losing its edge is that the winner usually doesn't actually main event WrestleMania. They just get a title shot now. It's not really being advertised that way anymore. So that's just the one thing about it that I've just been noticing. But I think Ryback will win this year.
Well, you make a very interesting point about
thank you.
That you're welcome. That the winner kind of loses steam a bit, or you know, doesn't mean as much anymore. Especially with the addition of the Money in the Bank briefcase. I mean, now you have guys. I mean, the Royal Rumble used to be a huge deal because you got an automatic, guaranteed shot at a world title at WrestleMania, which sounds great, and that's a great thing to have. But wouldn't you rather have the Money in the Bank briefcase when you can challenge a champion at any time, at any show?
Well,
I don't.
I mean, it's a different concept of it. I mean, when it was in when the Money in the Bank was at WrestleMania, you really didn't think of the Royal Rumble that way. Now that it's like its own pay per view, it's kind of like has a different meaning now. You know, they've never cashed it in at WrestleMania. I think for a reason. I think they've been doing that because then it takes away from the Royal Rumble winner, I think. So perhaps that could be the reason why. But I wouldn't be surprised this year if Dolph Ziggler cashes it in at Mania. I wouldn't be shocked if they actually do that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the likely scenarios, either that or maybe the Raw the night after, because, like you said, maybe we wouldn't want to take away from, let's say Ryback defeats Big Show at WrestleMania. We wouldn't want to take away from that moment, so maybe waiting till the next night on Raw, which Raw after WrestleMania should always be a big show as well.
Yeah, it could go both ways. I think that with Mania, with the shock value, if Ryback was to win, you know, which is good, maybe they don't want to give him the belt right now. Maybe they would like to have Ziggler have the belt. So, you know, maybe they might go that route, you know, where he could win the belt. He gets screwed by a big show punch, and then that could be the opening that he gets. So, I mean, Ryback is not undefeated anymore, so we don't have to worry about that undefeated streak. So, you know, I could see it going that way, that where Dolph Ziggler could win.
Yeah, and I think a feud between the two would be great. It would give more prestige and more relevance to the World Heavyweight Championship because you have two bigger name guys. I mean, Sheamus and Big Show are definitely top names, but I don't think that people care as much about those two as they do about Ryback and Dolph Ziggler.
Good point.
In any case, so TLD, do you think that he will eventually cash it in at WrestleMania?
I don't see any other way that it could go. He has Big E Langston, he has AJ. They could get involved and help him win that match. Big E could help, you know, take out Ryback, or, you know, it's really hard. This year is a very, very hard way to predict what's going on this year. You know, I mean, a lot of people predicted last year the way it really went. This year is kind of tough. You know, there's a lot of top spots that we really don't know what the way it's going to go. So, you know, it's interesting how it is. I think the placement of the Royal Rumble, if we see The Rock and CM Punk go before the Rumble, I might see The Rock win. If not, if Rock and that goes last, I think Ryback will win.
Yeah, I think Ryback's the likeliest. I know Sam would like to see John Cena win. But I don't. John Cena has had a terrible year. He doesn't deserve this Rumble win. Ryback's in a similar situation as, similar to where Sheamus was last year. Not Sheamus wasn't as high up, but Sheamus was on the verge of becoming a top babyface for the company, and that's where Ryback is right now. So it would definitely make sense for Ryback to win the Rumble. But then again, Ryback is already in the main event scene. So does he really need the Rumble win to get a championship match at WrestleMania?
I think he does. He's lost every pay-per-view that he's been on. You know, even though it didn't look he doesn't look weak, but he just hasn't been that, like, he hasn't had that big victory yet. I think that's why he needs it.
That's true. That's a good point. I mean, he has been challenging for the WWE Championship, but he has not been successful thus far. And now he's even moving away from it and feuding with The Shield, while Punk will feud with The Rock this month.
Keep going.
And tonight's Raw is actually not live. They taped it last week. Did either of you guys read the spoilers, or are you going to be watching it? What are you guys going to be doing?
I have it on DVR.
Yeah, I'm going to probably do the DVR thing myself. I think I'm going to stay away from the spoilers and not look at it. And just because sometimes I like it better when I don't read the spoilers. It's just sometimes I hate that. You know, I hate reading SmackDown spoilers and not watching the show. You know, because you judge the show off spoilers and then you don't watch it. And you're probably missing some good wrestling on the show. You know, the one time I watched SmackDown, I remember, was when Kane and Daniel Bryan were forming as a tag team against all the tag teams. And that was one of my favorite shows I've ever watched the whole year. So, I just love that show. And, you know, if I didn't, and I looked up the spoilers and I watched it anyway, but the spoilers didn't tell me the whole story. And watching it, you know, does. So I am going to DVR it and watch it at some other point this week.
Yeah, I've also learned not really enjoying the spoilers. I sometimes read them for SmackDown, but I remember that episode that you're talking about, and I agree that was great. And even this live one that was, I think, last week, I watched live, and it was great. So, you know, I think that WWE should have live shows more often, but I guess that's what makes Raw the best show, is that it is the only one that is live. But I'll be watching it tonight at the regular time and giving my top questions left unanswered, as I have been doing time and time again. And I just received notice from the Big O that he is about to be calling in to our show to talk about him and things I mentioned earlier. If you guys have questions for the Big O, you know, let me know. Otherwise, I do have my list that I'll be going through. So we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be back with the Big O. PWP Radio.
What's up, brother?
Very, very glad to have you on the show. Very excited to talk to you about all the things going on with you and your career. Merry Christmas to you, although I'm sure you're not doing much celebrating of that.
Yeah, it's pretty evident I'm a Jew, but Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays to everybody listening right now. So what's going on?
You too, well, we do have a number of questions for you. Some were tweeted in from your followers, and some are from us here at PWP Radio. So let's start with the big thing that I was talking to you with myself when we were talking about doing the show. You posted a short video regarding the New York Wrestling Connection screw job, in which you briefly won the heavyweight championship until it was taken from you. So can you explain exactly what happened?
Yeah. I've been feuding with the NYWC heavyweight champion, Apollyon, now for a few months. And since I've joined NYWC, I've been undefeated. No one's ever been able to take me down. And I don't know. I think the champ kind of knew that he was going to meet his match when I finally earned my title shot after winning a number one contenders battle royal at New York Wrestling Connection's House of Madness in October. And with that being said, I earned myself a title match at NYWC's Draw the Line, and I pretty much had Apollyon beat. Like, between you and me and everybody else listening to PWP, I had him. Like, that title was mine. I could smell it. And I hit him with my obliterator, and when I went to pin him, three guys came running out from the back and attacked me, pretty much like what the Shield has been doing in WWE. And the referee automatically threw the match out the window, disqualified Apollyon. And although I won the title, although I won the match, I didn't win the title because it wasn't a pin or a submission. So I was pretty furious and pissed off about that. But the commissioner of NYWC granted me a rematch the following show, which was NYWC's, I guess it was, Toward the Circus. And a second time, I had Apollyon beat, and somehow he managed to smuggle his championship belt into the when both I and the referee didn't see it. And at the last minute, I turned around. I went to go hit him with a move, and I moved out of the way because I saw the belt coming at me, and he knocked out the referee, cold, knocked him out blind. And he dropped the belt and tried to sneak it out of the ring real fast so no one could see, turned around right into another spine buster for me. And as I laid on top of him, holding him for dear life, trying to win that title, there was no referee to count the pinfall. I think the crowd started counting. I couldn't really tell. I was pretty dazed from the match, but I think they reached 8 or 9. And a second referee came running out from the back and counted the 3 fall and raised my arm and said I won the title. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was excited. I was pumped. All my friends came out from the back. All the top baby faces in NYWC Wrestling Connection were all in the ring celebrating with me. I went into the crowd, and about 5 minutes later, the original referee who was calling the match woke up and threw the match out the window and disqualified Apollyon for touching an official. And they literally unsnapped the buttons from the belt and took it off my waist and gave it back to him. I know that the first referee's ruling always supersedes a second or a third official, but at the time, I mean, I didn't even know really what was going on. All I know is that I pinned him. I heard the referee spot the mat 3 times, and I was the NYWC champ. So now, and everybody can imagine how pissed off I am. I'm trying to get a third and final rematch where I get a no-holds-barred, no-disqualification, false-count-anywhere match, but the NYWC commissioner hasn't granted it yet. So it's like twice I beat this cracker, and he knows, hands down, that I can beat him, and he keeps trying to weasel out of these matches with me, and I don't know how many more tricks he's got up his sleeve, but I'm telling you, man, if I get my hands on him one more time, I might end his wrestling career.
Well, you definitely answered one of my questions, which was, you know, are you going to get yet another shot at the title, but doesn't he also wrestle in Pro Wrestling Syndicate with you?
Yeah, he does, actually, but our paths in Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Jersey haven't passed each other yet. I'm kind of in like this feud with this top heel group in Pro Wrestling Syndicate called Reality Check.
Right.
And Apollyon's kind of doing his own thing there, so I haven't faced him in a match yet, but I think it'd be pretty great and a pretty awkward match, to say the least, if I were to face him in PWS, because of all our NYWC beef, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you were to face him at PWS, would you recognize what's going on in NYWC with him?
I really like to break kayfabe, but probably not, because my NYWC storylines kind of don't really overlap into other wrestling promotions. But
right.
he's a top heel. He's the 350-pound demonic juggernaut monster. And, you know, I'm the 250-pound muscle power guy. Like, when the two of us get in the ring together, it's like when Cena and Big Show get in the ring, you know? So,
right.
Regardless of whether there's a title on the line or not, if him and I were to get in the ring together at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, which very well could happen, it would still be like a Battle of the Giants, power over power type match, where whether there's a title on the line or not, I think Apollyon probably has given the toughest fight of my life in any of my matches I've had in the last year. And I bet he would probably say the same for me, because if he wouldn't, he wouldn't have cheated to try to beat me twice to hold on to his title. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And did you ever find, I mean, I'm sure you figured this out, but who were the three men who jumped you in the first match?
Apollyon is like the ringleader of like this heel faction called the Order of the Black. And they're like this, kind of like a Sons of Anarchy type, like motorcycle riding, leather jacket, like tough as nails, like type group. And in his group, there's like four or five other guys with him. And three of the guys that came out were Dickie Rods, the uninvited Victor Cruz, and the former tag champion Rex Wallace. So
okay.
I got beef with every single member of that stupid crew. And if I had to, I'd take them up 4-on-1 on a handicap match, and I'd wipe them out with them.
Did you ever get a chance at revenge by, you know, facing
actually,
or,
yeah,
or beating up these guys?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. There was this whole storyline going down where there was another guy involved in the Order of the Black, and his name is Stockade. And he dropped his Fusion title, which is equivalent to, like, WWE's Intercontinental belt. It's, like, our second highest-ranked belt in our company. And he lost it to, like, my best friend in NYWC, Tony Nese. And
oh, of course.
Tony Nese and I, were in this program feuding with Apollyon and Stockade, who were both the Fusion and Heavyweight champ. And at House of Madness, like I said earlier, when I won that number one contenders battle royal, it was Stockade and I were the final two in the battle royal. And if I were to win the battle royal, I would be able to cash in my ticket to wrestle Apollyon for the heavyweight. If he were to beat me or whoever else was left in the ring with him, he would have had an opportunity for a rematch for his Fusion title from Tony Nese. So what happened was Apollyon came out to watch the final two in the battle royal because he was praying that I wouldn't win because now he knows that he finally has to give me a title shot. And he threw a chair into the ring for Stockade to use on me, and Stockade said, no, I won't use the chair, I won't cheat. And when he threw the chair out of the ring, I was able to get back to my feet somehow and dump him over the top rope and won. And after that, Apollyon and those same three guys I just mentioned all came into the ring and attacked this guy, Stockade. So the very next show, after I finally had my title match and those three guys jumped on me while I was in the middle of pinning Apollyon, Stockade came out from the back to actually help me and turned on all the guys that he's been with and associated with for almost 2 years now. So Stockade was the only one that actually came out to, like, really help me. And it was evident that he dismissed himself from this group. So I don't know what his intentions lie with me, because he's mentioned to me before that now he wants to go after Apollyon's title. So I wouldn't say we're necessarily allies. I just think we have the same common enemy. And I vowed to him that because he had my back during my match when I was getting attacked, that I would return the favor and have his back if he needed it. And at our last show, NYWC's Tour de Circus, he was to wrestle one of the three members from that Order of the Black in a singles match, and their heel team manager, Buster Dugan, announced that it was going to be a handicap match 2-on-1 because, I don't know, they wanted to just murder Stockade for turning on them. So I came out from the back and got in the ring with Stockade and said, you know what? I'm here for you. You had my back last month. I got your back now. So Stockade and I almost had a tag match against two of the three guys that cost me my title the first time, but then the NYWC commissioner came out and said, Big O, you're in the title match in the main event tonight. You can either choose to wrestle a tag match now with Stockade, or you can wrestle for the title. So I was kind of in a pickle, but, you know, I got to go with what I've been building for, and I told Stockade, listen, I'm here for you, but, you know, I got to wrestle my title match later, so you're on your own. So I left the ring and let him do his thing.
So you have a couple of things on your list to do at NYWC in terms of still getting that revenge in that tag match and still trying to get the world title.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just trying to dismember this entire group of clowns, the Order of the Black. But the first and foremost thing on my plate is to just win the NYWC championship because, you know, I think I've proven myself in indie wrestling in the East Coast, especially in New York Wrestling Connection, that I can hang with the best. I can put on 20-minute main event title defense matches once I become champion. And, you know, I'm ready to carry that responsibility and that prestige as presenting myself as NYWC's guy. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, please keep us posted on, you know, if you get another shot at the world title.
Right.
what the next step is for you with NYWC, with New York Wrestling Connection. We hope that you achieve the goal and are able to finally get the world title.
I'm working my ass off. I'm in the gym. I'm in the training facility. I'm home studying tape. I'm studying the Polyon matches to see the way he moves and reacts to certain things. So I can feel it. I know I'm close. I know if I just get that one more shot without any of this disqualification, members jumping in the ring, using weapons and chairs and belts, whatever else, I know if I can get one fair match with this guy, at the end of the night, the referee's going to be raising my arm, not his.
Absolutely. Well, good luck to you. I'm going to ask you another question. You were tweeting during Hanukkah to your Jewish broskies, and
that's
I wanted to know, how did you celebrate Hanukkah this year, and how did you celebrate Hanukkah when you were younger, when you were the little O?
The little O. That's funny. I live in like an upstairs apartment with my parents. It's separate from my parents' house, but it saves me money on rent. So every year I still celebrate Hanukkah with my family. I got two brothers, and the five of us, we don't really get together too often for, like, family meals and stuff, only because everybody's schedules are all over the place. But Hanukkah's kind of quiet in my house. Other holidays are pretty hectic with other family members and a lot of little cousins and stuff running around. But Hanukkah was quiet, you know. We lit our menorah. We spun our dreidels. We opened some presents. We ate some potato latkes. So it was quite pleasant this year because there wasn't, like I said, like 20 people running around in my house screaming at the top of their lungs trying to get their words in. And sometimes, you know, don't get me wrong, man, I like the attention. That's what the Big O is all about. I always got to be in the spotlight. I walk into a room, everybody knows I'm there, and everybody wants to come up to me. But sometimes I get bombarded with wrestling questions and stuff about my career, and I'm explaining stories, and you know how, like, relatives are. Like, they ask you a question, and then another question, then another question, then another question, and then they go back and repeat the same questions, and then the next day they completely forgot everything you said. And it's just like, oh, God, I got to repeat myself all over again. But this year, it was quite relaxing where I didn't have to explain myself and talk and talk and talk. I could just sit back, relax, eat some latkes with applesauce, and, you know, enjoy my chocolate gelt.
Absolutely.
Second part, when I was a little O, I was a menace. I was a disaster as a kid. I was always loud, screaming at the top of my lungs, putting up a fight if I didn't get what I wanted, always yelling at my mom, I want to open my Hanukkah presents now. I don't want to go to temple. I want to open my presents, et cetera, et cetera. But I think I grew out of that phase once I kind of evolved from the little O to the Big O, you know? I was like every other little excited kid during the holiday season. I wanted to open presents. I wanted to watch all the specials on TV. I wanted to read books. I wanted to, holidays are important. Older, younger, it doesn't matter. Like, holidays are important because it brings you closer together with your family and your friends, and it's the one time of the year where you can express yourself to somebody in a way that you wouldn't normally do during the rest of the year. It's almost like getting wasted, you know? Like, the things that you want to say and do and give people when you're sober, you're not going to do, but then holidays come around and everybody loosens up a little bit, and it's a little easier to let your guard down, be vulnerable, and just be thankful for everything you have.
That's a great analogy. When you're drinking, it's sort of like you're creating a holiday.
Yeah, something like that.
Are any of your brothers or other family members wrestlers as well?
No, actually, I played college ice hockey, and my younger brother was going to play college ice hockey, but he was a baseball player. And my older brother played soccer throughout high school and college. So my family is all athletes, but nobody was really a wrestler. I wrestled on the amateur level when I was in middle school and my freshman year of high school. But a lot of the stuff I was taught then, either A, I didn't remember 10 years later, or B, isn't kind of the style that I wrestle now because that was 130 pounds ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
So you were just saying that holidays are a great time to spend with your family and friends. And speaking of friends, you know, a lot of fans know you from your appearances on Zack Ryder's The True Long Island Story, and, you know, seeing you guys together maybe in New York or wherever. So
right.
how did you and Zack meet, and how did this friendship come about?
Oh, wow. This is a crazy story, and it never gets old every time I tell it. So here we go again. Zack Ryder and I met about 5 years ago in the gym that I work out at Gold's Gym in Belmore, Long Island, New York. And Zack Ryder is a year older than me, and he actually has a younger brother who's my age. So I actually knew his brother way before I knew him, and his brother and I used to play semi-pro football together. And I guess when Ryder was home on, like, the weekdays when he wasn't on the road traveling, he used to, like, get guest passes all the time and train in Gold's Gym. And his brother introduced me to him, and in passing, like, we would say what's up to each other in the gym and stuff, but he was always looking at me like, oh, who's this loud, obnoxious guy in the gym slamming the weights around? And I looked at him like, oh, who does this guy think he is? He's some WWE superstar. I don't care. That doesn't impress me. Like, you know? But then one day he was doing legs in the gym, and I walked up to him, and I had my radio on, and I was listening to a song by New Kids on the Block. And I saw on Facebook, like maybe a day or two before that, he posted the lyrics to the song that I was listening to. So I thought, oh, hey, this would be a gas. Let me just walk up behind him, put my headphone in his ear real quick, and he'll hear the song that he was just singing, you know? And,
right.
You know, I put my headphones in his ear. He turned around, he smiled, and he goes, yo, Big O, you're all right. And from that day on, like, we became friends, and we started hanging out, and we just got really tight. And, you know, it was all thanks to New Kids on the Block.
That's great. I remember listening to New Kids on the Block back in the day. That was good times.
Yeah. And then, you know, we became really close after that. But, you know, the wrestling thing never really came into fruition until after 8 or 9 months of working with him on Z2 Long Island Stories.
Were you both wrestlers prior to meeting?
No, actually, I went to Binghamton University and got a bachelor's in journalism. I wanted to be a sports writer. That was my career. And when I graduated school, I had a nice job working for the New York Islanders. I used to edit their blog profiles, and I would edit the bios and the programs. If you ever go to, like, a sports game and you buy the program, some idiot's got to sit at home and do all the tedious writing and whatnot, and that's what I did. And, you know, my whole dream was I played ice hockey my whole life. I grew up the biggest Islanders fan, and now I get to go to the games for free, go in the locker room, interview the players, interview the coaches, meet, like, famous hockey players and other stars and celebrities, and then go home and write about it and get paid to do it. Like, it was great. But then, you know, there were some problems with the organization, and they ended up laying a lot of workers off, and because I was new, I was at the top of the list that got laid off, and I never got rehired, and I got pretty bummed out about that. And I started shuffling around jobs. I was the editor of a local newspaper for a little while, and I was currently bar manager of two clubs on Long Island, and I was making a pretty nice living in the in-between phase, deciding if I wanted to go back to college for my master's, or if I wanted to save up some more money and open up my own club, or I was kind of in transition. I didn't know what I wanted to do because I came home from school. You know, I did the 5 years. I had a job. It didn't work out. And then I was making easy money doing something else. And the easier my other job became, like, the more difficult mentally it became to go back into that profession to make less money. So,
right.
I was currently working as a bar manager at a club, and Zack Ryder approached me in, like, February of 2011 and was like, Big O, I know you can write, and I know you're good with computer programs, and I'm going to start this project because my career is kind of slumping. And I was like, what's going on? Because I kind of lost touch with him for a little while because he was on the road a lot, and I was getting my bar thing going, and we didn't talk, like, every single day like we used to. We would catch up, like, once a week or once every other week, you know, but he asked me if I'd be willing to help him out with this YouTube project, and I said, sure, although I don't know what the hell you're talking about. He goes, I'm going to do, like, some type of reality thing where I can show my fans in the WWE universe like a different side of me that they never get to see because I never get aired on TV anymore. So a lot of people don't know anything about me. I said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. What do you want to do? He goes, well, I don't know. I was thinking maybe I could do like a Mad TV sketch comedy show where I do little scenes and I dress up as other wrestlers and I criticize other companies and I just, you know, I offer fans stuff like a behind the scenes type thing that you normally would never get. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, this could be something big because nobody else at the time did anything like that. Nobody, you know, nobody did like a Q&A radio show or nobody did like a fan mail show. Nobody really did anything to really expose themselves outside of just being on TV as a wrestler. So I thought, hey, this would be cool. So I helped him with the first few episodes. And then he asked me, like, after, like, the third or fourth week, do I want to make an appearance in one of them? And I said, sure, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm not a wrestler. I don't know anything about the storylines. I don't know much. I was like, I grew up my whole life as a wrestling fan. I always watched wrestling. I went to shows. But I was, like, the average fan. Like, I wouldn't be able to hold a 15-minute conversation talking pro wrestling. So I didn't know what he wanted from me. He goes, Big O, just be you. Just get the camera. And just say, oh, you're the Big O, and whatever comes to your mind, you know, let everybody know that you got my back. So I was like, all right, sure, no problem. I'll help you out. For the sake of the show, doing one of my best friends a favor. And, you know, I did a promo for the show, and the show got 400,000 views in a month. And then the next week, he said, Big O, you want to do something else? And I said, sure. So I did something else. And then 2 weeks later, Big O, this is the episode. Can you help me write the script? What do you think of this? And I said, all right, I'll do it again. And then after doing it for like 7 months, I started to develop a following, and people started recognizing me as, ooh, like Big O, Zack Ryder's best friend, his bodyguard, et cetera. And I was like, you know, this is kind of cool. And I remember going to my first event at the Coliseum, knowing Zack Ryder, actually going to see a wrestling show to see him. And I didn't know what to expect. And I went to Raw, I think it was June of 2011, and before I could even get on the floor to take my seat, because we had front row seats, I must have gotten mauled by almost 1,000 fans at the Nassau Coliseum in New York that wanted to take pictures with me and get my autograph. And I was like, I was stunned, I was in total shock. I was like, me? Like, who am I? They're like, oh, you're the Big O, you're Zach's best friend. You know, I never get to meet Zach, but maybe meeting you, like, I can get some insight from Zach, and meeting you is, like, the next best thing, and you're going to be something big, you're a star. And, like, you know, I'm not going to lie, the attention felt cool. Like, it felt nice. Like, people appreciated me for helping him make this show a success, and, you know, I loved it. And after that, I started thinking to myself, like, you know, maybe wrestling could be something I'd want to get into. But I wouldn't know how to start. I wouldn't know where to train. I didn't know anything about it. All I knew was that the wrestlers, they're athletic, and they're charismatic, and they're loud, and they're obnoxious, and that's everything I've been my whole life, but in real life, not playing a gimmick. So after a few more months of doing shows, I finally decided that August of 2011 that, you know what, I'm going to join the same wrestling school that Zack Ryder joined. I'll train and practice for a couple of weeks. If I like it, if it seems like something I'd want to do, I'll pursue it. And in the meantime, I was still working at the club 3 nights a week as bar manager, making decent money where I wasn't sacrificing anything in order to train. So I decided I'll give it a month or two, we'll see where it takes me. And after the second week, I fell in love with it. And here I am 16 months later, you know?
Yeah, and I know you continue to go to, you know, Raw and WWE events to support Zach. I know Sam and I were at the one in New Jersey, I think at the Prudential Center, not that long ago, maybe a few weeks ago.
Right.
And we saw you there in the front row. So you continue to go and support Zach and see the shows?
Oh, yeah. Any time that there's a WWE live event on, like, the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, New England, maybe even Pennsylvania, tri-state type area, I take any opportunity I can get. I mean, I love hanging out with fans and meeting new people and just trying to expose myself and get my name out there. But I also love going and watching the show and being that close to the ring. You know, I pick up a lot of things that you can't pick up on TV. Like, I see moves better. I understand psychology of matches better and ring position, where the guys are at certain points and where they need not be to not make themselves vulnerable or open for an attack. So going to these shows, it's win-win-win-win-win all across the board for me, because I get to meet people. Sometimes I get to meet WWE superstars when I'm picking up Zack Ryder, like around like the wrestler, like Gate. I get to take pictures with fans. I get to promote my NYWC wrestling shows and my pro wrestling syndicate shows. I hand out flyers, sometimes get tickets to shows out. And like I said, like I'm right there at the ring in front of the action, and I'm getting to watch real live wrestling, and I'm a student of wrestling now. So any opportunity I get to go to a show, I'm there.
And I know Zack Ryder doesn't always get the opportunity to have a match on Raw, but when he does and you get to see it, do you guys talk about his matches? And does he talk, do you guys talk about, does he say where he thought he could do better, or do you ever have
Yeah, we talk about it a lot. It's just, sometimes matches go your way and sometimes they don't. And the only thing you can really do to improve yourself is to study what you do and to study what your opponent has done. And try not to make the same mistakes, or if a move or something didn't work, remember not to repeat it. So he goes over a lot with me about my wrestling. Like, I'm not anybody to criticize anybody's wrestling, but more or less, it's more of him watching my matches back and giving me advice and helping me and telling me what he thinks I should do or what I shouldn't do or what I should start to learn to incorporate into my skill set that'll make me a better wrestler, or that'll give me that extra edge against a certain wrestler of this kind, of this type. So it's more like he's the teacher and I'm the student, and I'm going to take everything he has to say with open arms, because obviously he knows what he's doing. Look at where he is, you know?
Absolutely. Do you ever wish that, you know, you one day will get the opportunity either to face Zack Ryder in a match or to be in a tag team with him?
Yeah, I mean, my ultimate goal is to get out of the indie scene as long as it takes and make it to that next level. And if I can, you know, be associated with him or be feuded against him, I think it'll be great, because it's one of those real life stories that you don't really see in pro wrestling like you used to. It's not like
right. We
were allies in a company and then we turned on each other and then something happened and then we were both feuding over the same girl, like the WWE storyline now with AJ and Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and Al Ziggler and all that. Like, our history is real. It's something that's unique and you don't see it that often anymore. We were truly best friends before any wrestling was in the picture for me. And I did him like a favor and joined on his cast and crew for the show. And I did everything I could to help further the show so he could help himself in his career. And in return, he got me set up with the New York Wrestling Connection, which is where he first started wrestling. And he's given me advice and he's given me tickets to all these events. And, you know, he's been paying favors back to me, I guess, in appreciation for me helping him with his show. So if I were to make it to that next level, it's I did everything I could to help him, and now he did everything he could to help me, and now here we are as either a real-life best friend duo or real-life enemies. So I think fans and an audience will connect with that so much more than some of the stories
Absolutely. In
all professional wrestling, in all major companies, that are just force-fed to you and shoved down your throat.
Absolutely. With that said, I'm actually going to ask you the first question I have from one of your Twitter followers. At Devers Annex asks, who's one wrestler you look up to and why?
There's tons of wrestlers that I look up to and several different guys that have helped create, like, the character and what I try to do in the ring and outside the ring as the Big O, but I'll have to say the most influential has to be Davey Boy Smith, has to be the British Bulldog. You know, from physical attributes, we're like the same size, 6'1", 250 pounds of muscle, but he was extremely athletic, and he could do drop kicks, and he would do power moves, the vertical suplexes, and he would do the roll through and the nip up from his forehead to his feet, and all the stuff that I used to see him do, and that I still watch him do now because I study a lot of Bulldog film, is exactly the type of wrestler that I want to be. I want to be a powerful, strong, but athletic type wrestler who can hang with any type of opponent. Like, sometimes the Bulldog would wrestle guys smaller than him, and he would be the powerhouse, and he would be just destroying his opponents with his power moves. But then there were some matches where, you know, he would wrestle bigger guys like, you know, Kevin Nash, or he would wrestle Vinnie Vegas, or guys that were 6-7 inches taller than him, and now he's not the power guy anymore, so he has to be a technical wrestler, and he has to out-wrestle them and outsmart them. So at first, when I first started wrestling, I was like, my physique and my size, I'm kind of a tweener. Like, I'm not 6'4 or taller, so I'm not just considered a big man. And I'm not 5'9, where I'm considered a little guy who has to be acrobatic and do 450s and flips and splashes and stuff. So at first, I was like, oh, no, like, this is going to be so hard. I'm going to have to learn two styles of wrestling. I have to be a power wrestler, and I have to be a technical wrestler. But as I'm getting more comfortable in the ring and learning more and more moves and understanding the psychology of the match, I'm starting to really get the hang of it. And the more and more I watch the British Bulldog, like, the more and more, like, that's kind of what I'm trying to incorporate into my skill set. And as a tribute to that, one of my biggest moves that nobody has done in 30 years is the one-on-one power slam. And I use that any opportunity I can get in my matches. And for the most part, that move is powerful enough to put away most of my opponents.
Absolutely. Once you said British Bulldog, it reminded me of the shows that I've seen at PWS with you. And you always, I can pretty much remember every match, you doing the running power slam, just like British Bulldog used to do.
One of my, maybe perhaps the most beneficial match to my career so far was when I wrestled Dr. Tom Pritchard for his Texas heavyweight title, and I was able to pick up the victory on Dr. Tom Pritchard and earn the Texas title by hitting him with a sprawling vertical suplex, and then I finished him with the running power slam. And you know, that was my tribute to the British Bulldog. Obviously, there are tons of other wrestlers who influence some of the moves that I do and some of my promotional skills and my workouts and my training sessions. But for the most part, I would say the most influential wrestler on who I am now in the ring has to be British Bulldog.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting stuff. If you could choose any wrestler from WWE, NYWC, PWS, or any other promotion to be in a match with, who would it be, and what stipulation would you give the match?
You mean currently, like a current wrestler today?
Correct.
That's a good question. You're going to make me think about this now, huh? Who would I want to face and why? I would like to have a match with Mike Mondo, who currently wrestles for Ring of Honor.
Right.
Mike Mondo started at New York Wrestling Connection 11 or 12 years ago, I think, right when New York Wrestling Connection came to. And he was a very, very popular name and face in the company. And he's the first NYWC graduate. He's the man. He's the guy that was the first one to ever make it out of NYWC and make it to the next professional level. And at the time, it was WWE. And now, he's been back at a few NYWC shows sporadically when he's not filming for Ring of Honor. And
at one of my shows last year, he actually came out and cut a promo after my match to congratulate me and to kind of welcome me to the wrestling world. And he wants to pass the torch down from him to me. And then somehow that conversation went wrong and he picked a fight with me and, you know, jumped on me and started attacking me out of nowhere. And I didn't understand really what was going on. But when I finally came to my feet, I picked him up and was ready to power slam him too, because that's my thing. And he right. slipped out of the ring and got on the microphone and challenged me to a match and hasn't been back since. So I think it would be great to work someone as professional and as experienced as he is. And it's kind of like the NYWC past and present type thing. And the type of match I would wrestle with him would have to be, I don't know, it would have to be like an Extreme Rules hardcore type match, only because he's so experienced and so crafty, and I'm still a beginner. I mean, I've only been training a little over a year, that I don't know. Like, I know I can outpower him, but he's a great wrestler. I'm not going to put him down. He's one of the best, and he's one of the best I've ever seen. So if I were to have a collegiate or amateur-style match with him, it would be a big problem at this stage in my career. So I think an Extreme Rules hardcore match, you know, would test our wrestling skills, and it would test our inner intestinal fortitude, and we put on a hell of a show for everybody in attendance. So, Mike Mondo, if you're listening, anytime, anywhere, any place, I would be more than honored you would accept the challenge from me to wrestle in a hardcore match, no disqualifications. Very critical.
There you have it. A challenge from the Big O to Mike Mondo, anytime, anywhere, for an Extreme Rules hardcore match. That would be amazing to see. Hopefully, we do get to see that one day. We have one other question that we got from one of your Twitter followers, at Ricky Pin, asks, where did the name Big O come from?
Ooh, okay. Well, my last name starts with the letter O. And when I was in middle school and high school, I wasn't into weightlifting or anything, and I was pretty thin. I was an athlete, but I wasn't jacked, or I wasn't into fitness or working out in a gym or anything like that. And after my sophomore year of high school, when I started getting looked at by universities to play ice hockey, I decided I'm going to drop playing soccer. I'm going to drop playing some of the other sports I was playing. And I wanted to bulk up a little bit and put on some muscle and get a little stronger, because I knew that once I made it to college at 17, 18 years old, I was going to be facing guys 22, 23 years old that were going to be physically stronger and faster than I was. And, you know, like I wanted to be the best I could. So I joined the gym and I started working out. And the first gym I ever joined was Gold's Gym, which is where I pay all my homage to and all my promos and everything else. And I started working out, like, hardcore one summer. And I was going to the gym twice a day. And this is before I had my license. And I was riding my bicycle to the gym. And I was working out for 2 hours. And I was riding my bicycle home. And then some nights I would go a second time. And I would just do cardio and run on the treadmill for an hour and come back home. And for, like, 3 straight months, all I did was work out. And when I came back to school that following September, I must have put on, like, maybe 15 pounds. And everybody's like, oh, my God. Like, Adam, that's my first name, got so big. Look at him, look at him. Wow, he's, like, the only one in our school that works out. And I started getting attention. I'm like, oh, like, this, you know, this is kind of cool. Girls were starting to talk to me more. And the following summer, when I had even more time to just devote to working out, I came back to school. And I was like 190 pounds that September of my senior year of high school. And, you know, for a 17-year-old, like, that's pretty diesel. So
yeah.
I forgot who it was, but it was someone on varsity soccer that said to me, hey, Big O, get on the field. And I turned around. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, you're the Big O. Look at you. You're huge. So I was like, okay. And then a couple of guys started just calling me Big O, and the name just stuck. So for everybody that's wondering, did I make up the name Big O for the YouTube show? Absolutely not.
My name has been the Big O for 10 years and counting now. It's been my nickname. My friends in high school called me Big O. My college fraternity brothers, my college ice hockey teammates, my family, my friends. I'm not going to lie. There are some people out there that have no idea what my name is, and they just have been calling me Big O for years. So the name the Big O is just a nickname that people started giving me in high school, and it just stuck. And then the more I worked out and the bigger I got, like, the more fitting it was. And I hear stories from my mother all the time that when my father was in high school, people used to call him the Big O. So who knows? Maybe it was in the DNA, in the genes, and it just got passed down over time.
So we could put all the rumors away that we now know the truth behind the name the Big O.
My friends started calling me Big O in high school because I started working out, but
right.
That doesn't take anything away now from girls calling me the Big O for another reason, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
That's if you read in between the lines, but the origin of the Big O came from friends in high school that nicknamed me that.
Right. I think everyone always thought of the other one, but never really knew about the original form.
Yep.
We have a couple other people on us from PWP. Sam or Will, do you have any questions for the Big O?
I just, it's not really a question. It's more of just a comment observation. I was at the last two PWS shows, and I got a chance to meet you and take a picture with you and everything, and it's obvious when you walk into an event like that, you see a lot of the talent there, and you could tell right off the bat who's just there for a paycheck and who's actually there because they enjoy doing it. And after talking to you for 2 minutes, and I got your autograph, and you wrote me out this message, you're very enthusiastic about being there, and you're very passionate about it, it's great to see, it's great to see somebody, a young guy who's very, passionate about it and wants to go places. And I just really appreciated that. I know you got, a lot of people probably came up to you that day, but you did a really good job of, making me feel like, you were genuinely, happy to meet me and you were happy to be there. And that's just nice to see. And I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, man. That's very humbling. Thanks. I love the sport. I mean, as a kid, I was always a huge wrestling fan. I just never looked at it as something that could be me, like watching TV and seeing Macho Man Randy Savage and Shawn Michaels and these guys. I'm like, oh, these guys are great. They're superheroes. They're larger than life. I could never do something like that. I could never be on TV and have little kids wearing my T-shirts, jumping off the couch onto a mattress, doing a move the Big O would do. Like, hey, it's like surreal. You can't even think about being in that type of situation. And now that I sort of am in that situation, it's like I am more appreciative and thankful to have what I have at such a young point in my career, but the push that I've gotten from the whole YouTube show, that I owe everything to Zack Ryder, that, I don't walk around and try to be like, oh, I'm the Big O, like, come over here. Like, I'm every single person that's there specifically to talk to me and meet me. It's like I get humbled every single time someone wants to come over and meet me, because it's like you second-guess yourself as a celebrity or as a professional wrestler sometimes. Like, these people are paying money to see me. Like, I'm somebody special, and, like, it's hard to come to grips with it. And I think, I'm really thankful for all the opportunities I get. Like, I could be sitting at a desk somewhere unhappy at a day job. Instead, I'm performing in front of hundreds of people that are screaming my name, that are there for me, that are wearing my merchandise, that care about what I do and what I say. And with that being said, I care about every single one of my fans and what they do and what they have to say. So I try to treat every person I meet with, like, the same respect that I would want trying to meet somebody like a Macho Man or like a Shawn Michaels. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, like, this guy just thinks he's a superstar and whatever. I don't see myself as a superstar. Legit, I'm Zack Ryder's friend who helped him do this YouTube thing, and as a result, I'm kind of being a wrestler now, and now it's still, like, surreal. Like, I go on sometimes, and I go on Twitter, and I'm like, do I really have 30,000 people that care about everything I have to say? It's like, it's crazy. It's such a good feeling that if I can make somebody feel that special for even a minute when I'm meeting them, then that's what I try to do.
Absolutely, yeah, my man. Thanks again.
I think, yeah, Big O, you have nearly 28,000 Twitter followers. And I think for the most part, most wrestlers are pretty good with that. Like you said, I'm sure they appreciate people wanting to come to them and you know, wanting to speak with them or get an autograph or get a picture. So I think it's great overall the way that wrestlers react to fans.
I wrestled for a few promotions outside of New York and New Jersey, but the two main companies that I worked for are New York Wrestling Connection and Pro Wrestling Syndicate. And I can say this in all honesty, that every single worker for both of those companies are all humbled. They're all genuinely nice guys, and they're all just thankful to be a part of the show and to be a part of the company. And I have never seen one of the workers in either company ever be rude or disrespectful to a fan or ever tell somebody, we don't want your money, don't buy my merchandise, or don't pay for a ticket to come to the show. We'd rather not have you here. I've never seen that. And personally, if I ever did see or hear something like that, I would speak up about it, and I would probably try to have a conversation with that person one-on-one and see why they felt that way. I would never do it publicly and try to embarrass or humiliate somebody, but you know, I can speak for myself, but everything that I've seen in the locker room, in the lobby, in the parking lot, out on the floor selling merchandise, before and after matches, every single wrestler that I had the opportunity to meet and work with that I respect wrestling and respect the fans, like, so much that you can meet anybody at any one of either shows and you feel like you made a personal connection. Like, they'll ask you your name, and they'll remember your name the next time you come. So you feel more important. You don't just feel like a fan. You feel like you're part of the family of the promotion, whether it's NYWC or PWF. And I'm lucky enough to be a part of both of them, which is sick.
Absolutely. The nice thing about the independent scene is that you can perform for multiple promotions.
Right.
But overall, I've been very impressed when meeting wrestlers and how kind and open they are. So that's been great. Will, do you have any questions for the Big O?
Absolutely. I got actually two questions to ask. One of them is related to – actually, both are kind of related to the YouTube show. But one of the questions has to do with how the WWE – you know, how you've seen the Big O when you see WWE grasping that social media – and, you know, Zack Ryder was kind of the first one to go with that. Do you feel like
right.
the Zack Ryder show kind of influenced the WWE to go that route to social media?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's no surprise that, like, since MySpace and Facebook hit the scene, like, a little less than 10 years ago, Facebook about 2003. I think MySpace around 2002, 2001, but whatever it is, like, you know, it's the easiest way to reach thousands and thousands of people in a matter of seconds as opposed to single-handedly trying to reach out to each person. It's almost impossible to do that. And by utilizing now Twitter and now Tout and now Instagram, you can say something or show something and express what's on your mind to a million people, literally a million people in 2 seconds. And it just blows my mind that no one ever thought about doing that sooner. I think Zack Ryder, you know, is a genius. He was the first person that ever said, you know what? I'm going to make a show on YouTube for the fans to see something behind the scenes that you would never see on Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown or on television main event or whatever it is. Now, you know, you've got wrestlers conducting interviews, answering fan mail, Dolph Ziggler answering Twitter questions. It's it's great because it allows the fans' voices to be heard easier, and more people are getting a better feel for who the wrestlers are, not just in the ring but outside of the ring too. And for better or worse, it's a lot, you know, it shows a different side of you to either gain fans or, you know, to gain hate if you're a heel, and that's what you're trying to do, create heat. So I'm just like a speckle off the rock from this YouTube show. It's just I was fortunate enough that he took this gamble and was willing to take a chance and, you know, criticize some people in the system, and it worked. And as a result, I kind of noticed. Like, I wouldn't be noticed if there was no Twitter, because Zack Ryder's show is seen by hundreds of thousands of people every week. And if people wanted to know who I am, they have to know my Facebook. They have to know my Twitter. They want to get to know more about me, because I wasn't a WWE employee, and I'm still not. I'm just a guy who helped out a friend who made his YouTube show, but now with Facebook and with Tout and with Twitter, now I'm kind of starting to get, like some popularity and some exposure. So without the social media, I don't know how Zack Ryder's rejuvenation would have been, and I know 100% that I wouldn't be anywhere without it. So I might very well be the first experiment in social media. A guy who wasn't in the wrestling business, who kind of gained some popularity and some stance before he even was a wrestler, to now, because I had so many fans and so much like inspiration and so much support, that I said, you know what? I'm going to try it and see if I like it, and I'm going to see if it works. And it's worked out so far. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great, you know, one thing you just said right there about, you know, how you did not expect to be a pro wrestler, and now you are. Based on the popularity, people, I guess, want to see you be pro wrestler, too. I don't think it's just that they wanted to watch you on the show, but they wanted to see what you could do in the ring. And I personally was also at the PWS show, and I thought, you know, you're definitely impressive. I mean, I think you have the physical presence. When people look at the Big O, people would not want to fight you. It's like, you know, you have that Ryback or Goldberg appeal where, you know, people look at you and they would say, yeah, this guy's a wrestler, or this guy I would not want to fight. And that's the presence you I think, as a wrestler. And me doing pro wrestling myself, that's the kind of guy that, you know, would be the one guy you don't want to fight, you know.
Right.
And there's one other question I wanted to bring up, too, and I never knew you were a journalism major. That's quite interesting that you – I'm actually a film and TV major as well.
Okay.
What moments have you written on Zack Ryder's show that made on there that you would say was, like, the best thing you came up with?
All right. You. My whole, I guess, my breakthrough promo that kind of put me over the top, that I started gaining a lot of buzz about and really led me to think that maybe wrestling could be for me, was episode 15, where I dressed up like John Cena, and I cut a promo on John Cena challenging him to wrestle me at SummerSlam 2011. Ryder thought it would be funny if I were to dress like Cena and pretend to be him for a minute and confuse the fans, because Cena and I have a similar build and a similar look, like height, like frame-wise. And everything I said in that promo, I ran by him, and I was like, you know, is this okay for me to say, or is this funny, or do you think this is, you know, like the puns and the analogies I were using, do you think the fans would connect with it? And I showed him the text message of the script I wrote, and he goes, Big O, it's perfect, I love it. So I went on camera, and in one take, I dressed up like John Cena, I put his hat and armbands on, I wore his spinning belt, I wore jean shorts, and I cut this monster promo calling him out and kind of poking at his gimmick and twisting what some of the words he used and tried to spin them off as my own. And after that, like, everybody's like, wow, like, this guy called out John Cena, this was great, like, Big O is clever and yada, yada, yada. There's more to him than just, oh, get out of my ozone, rah. And from that moment on, I was like, this was great. Can I cut promos on more wrestlers? And he's like, sure. And then later that summer, I cut a promo on CM Punk, and I wrote, I wrote that whole promo. I'm trying to think of what else. There were other scripts that I helped written. Like, I hosted episode 50, and a lot of the stuff that entire episode is me. That's when Zach was injured, and he was in, like, a wheelchair, and he had a back brace and all of that. I pretty much wrote that whole show. And then there are a lot of other things that I help write that aren't in the script, like directing. When we're figuring out what hand gestures you want to do and what facial reactions we think are funniest or most serious or what we should put on or take off or wardrobe and everything. So not just from script, but also like directing and editing and what music we should use in the background. Should we make this scene black and white? Should we crop out music in the back? Like, what should we do? So a lot of the stuff that's done in that show isn't necessarily my idea. A lot of pretty much all of it is his, but he always coincides with me for my input to see if there's something little we could change or one or two words that we can use that'll make it more effective. So it was almost more like I'm an editor more than the writer for the show, but a lot of the stuff in that show was his ideas, and I just tried to help trim the fat around it to make it the best it could be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'm very impressed with, because I recognize how you guys edit, because I'm a trainer in Apple, so actually I understand what you're actually doing. And actually, I think you guys do a tremendous job, might I add, on how that comes together using that software. I have to commend you guys on, when I first saw that, I knew exactly how you guys were editing, and I was just very impressed on how you guys did it. And you know, because every day I deal with people who don't know how to use it, but you guys use it to a T, so I just want to commend you on that.
Oh, thanks. It's not really me, though. It's him. You know, believe it or not, Ryer comes home from being on the road from WWE, and some weeks he only gets to come home for 2 days. And of those 2 days, other than the however many hours he's spending sleeping or in the gym or going tanning or getting his hair cut and doing his errands, he, instead of hanging out with friends or going to the bar and chilling, he's home at his computer editing and cutting scenes and splicing stuff. And he'll spend some weeks, he comes home from being on the road and he's only home for 2 days, and he'll spend 6 hours at the computer editing the show. That's how, like, dedicated and devoted he is.
Yeah, that's pretty. How many days does it usually take you to shoot one episode?
It all depends. If an episode is like a highlight reel, then that's just re-editing and copying and pasting. Some of the times when I cut promos for him, he's on the road, so we can't get together and film. So I actually film them from my flip phone or from the camera and just email them to him, and he plugs them in. And then there are some ones where it's me and Zack Ryder's dad and even Chia Petta that do these collaborative promos, and some of those could take 2 hours just to get a 30-second thing down because one person didn't react the right way, or the line was goofed, or there was noise in the background in the middle of the street. And, you know, like with any filming, you love to get something down on the first take, but you always do a couple of takes because you can always take the better one, or you can splice scenes. And just because it's a 5-minute YouTube show, people don't realize that to make 5 minutes and edit it and cut it can take 15 hours.
I know the feeling. So we're going to definitely be putting one of the some of this audio on our PWP Awards. We're doing that in the next couple of weeks. I'm actually editing it now. So we're going to have a little bit of this right in that episode. So that way you can join us for 2012 PWP Awards. It's our first video.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, definitely.
So just wanted to mention that. You can take it, Seth.
All right. Great. Well, Big O, thank you so much for joining us. I know... if you want, we would love to know when your next few shows are. I know PWS is having a show in February.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to be there.
PWS in New Jersey, we're running February 9th. I will be on that show. And my next New York Wrestling Connection event is January 19th, the day after my birthday. I haven't been granted a title match yet, but if I do get the title match and win that night, it might be the best birthday present I ever get. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, absolutely. Well, good luck to you. Thank you again for joining us on PWP Radio. It's been such a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I wish you guys the best of luck, PWP. You guys got a great radio show going, and anytime you'd like to have me come back, I wouldn't mind at all. I want to wish everybody happy holiday season, and don't get too crunked up this week and next week with New Year's, because,
we got to make it to your next
show. You got to have fun, but you got to be responsible at the same time.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Thanks a lot, man.
Enjoy your holiday.
All right,
guys.
All right,
you too.
Thank you very much, guys. Be easy. Later.
You're welcome. That was the Big O. You can follow him on Twitter at it's the Big O. Uh-oh, it's the Big O. And once again, I'm Seth, WWE featured columnist on Bleacher Report. You can follow me at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. Check out gutwrenchpowerblog.com. You can check us out Facebook.com/gutwrenchpowerblog.com. And this has been ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check them out. If anyone is interested in joining the team, you can contact Jay through ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We're always looking for more contributors. So check them out on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. And enjoy the rest of your Christmas break. Happy holidays. And have a happy new year from all of us at Oh You Didn't Know and PWP Radio.